Good morning, and welcome to The Mental Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
And today we're going to talk about emotion-focused coping. Good morning. Today we're going to talk about a really interesting and I think hopefully helpful strategy and just world perspective called emotion-focused coping. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this is going to be very timely for many of you as we're entering into the holiday season because, well, we all need to focus and learn to cope better with our emotions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And we talked a few days ago about what to do when stress does hit.
Yes.
You know, and because despite our best efforts and despite all the prevention, I think one day this past week we talked about how to prevent stress by managing your schedule wisely and mindfully and carefully. But now we're here and now we're under stress.
Right.
So what do we do when it really does hit? And this is everything from minor discomfort to a panic attack.
Exactly.
I think you could apply the things that we're going to talk about this morning to any kind of heightened arousal, everything from a mild distressing event, a little frustration, a little wrinkle in your day, to a full-blown panic attack.
Right, right. And so there's going to be several sort of levels. We'd call them levels.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not that it's a hierarchy, and it's not that you have to do these in any particular mm-hmm. order. There's going to be several strategies that we're going to talk about today, some of which you've heard of before.
Right.
They're not going to be new, mm-hmm. but we're going to talk about them from the perspective of being able to better manage and cope with your emotions, and maybe more specifically, how to cope with your emotions by focusing on what those emotions are mm-hmm. and being able to deal with them appropriately.
Right. We talked, I think, last week or the week before last about identifying emotions accurately. So that would, of course, be your first step is to identify what this emotion is that you're feeling. Identify it as precisely as you can. If you're feeling anger, then you deal with anger.
Right.
If you're feeling sort of free-floating anxiety, then it's free. But identify carefully as you can, as precisely as you can, what emotion you're dealing with.
Yeah. And sometimes identifying the emotion isn't real easy. I mean, it's going to take a little bit of insight. It's going to take a little bit of self-reflection. You're going to have to step back and you're going to have to really think about, okay, what am I feeling right now? What is this really anger that I'm feeling? Or is this frustration? Or is it disappointment? Is it sadness? Is it hurt? What is it? And because when you can better identify, when you can better define and really hone in on what's going on, you have a much better chance of resolving the issue.
That's right. Because then you can match the intervention to the precise emotion that you're feeling.
Right.
Identify the wrong emotion, you're going to pick the wrong intervention. It's not going to work. You say, oh, that stuff doesn't work. No, it works if you match the intervention to the actual emotion.
Which is exactly what we criticize medicine for quite often.
That's right.
You know, when we say, the doctor is just playing trial and error mm-hmm. with me. They're trying this medication and it's not working, so then they try another one. Well, mm-hmm. when we don't know the diagnosis, we're left playing catch up and we're left playing trial and error to see what's going on, what to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I got a little cough there
today.
Mm-hmm. It is. So we really want to make sure that we identify the root emotion, not the emotion that's being manifested, mm-hmm. because sometimes we unconsciously try to address or cope mm-hmm. with an emotion by responding in some externalized way, mm-hmm. whether it's through anger or whatever, or running, escaping. Mm-hmm. That's another mm-hmm. way that we cope with emotions sometimes.
Right.
But it's not until we really get to the root that we can actually address what's going on.
That's right. We'll address it appropriately and accurately, and the intervention will be effective.
Right. Okay. So we're going to talk about six different things here that we can do to hopefully help with some of that. And, and the first one is one of our old favorites, meditation.
Yeah.
Now that echo of like that, because I know that people respond to meditation that way, because we have sort of this image in our mind of a person sitting cross-legged, listening to chanting and om and doing all of that. But meditation, meditation is much more broad than that. But also, well, there's a lot to it. There's a lot of benefits from meditation.
And I would say that most people probably get very close to really meditating and they're not even aware of it.
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, there's nothing magical or mysterious about this. And you don't have to sit in a lotus position with a robe and repeat things. Right. There are reasons why it's done that way. But I would guess that most adults probably have some form of mini meditation that they do. What we'd like to talk to you about is what are the components and what does it really do for you?
Right, right. Yeah, and a lot of people will say that, well, every time I try to meditate, I just fall asleep. But that's okay, because probably what you need.
Right.
Because if you're not sleeping well, you know, when we think about those key aspects of how to manage and be healthy, you know, if you calm yourself, if you pause, if you center yourself well enough to where you fall asleep, well, then that's probably exactly what you needed.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Right. So don't stop because of that. Take that as a cue that you probably need to switch up your bedtime routine and your sleep cycle a little bit, because you're probably not getting enough sleep at night. So don't let those kinds of hiccups stop you from using this wonderful technique.
Right. And so this om thing, the sound that people make, okay, why do we do that? Well, once again, you have to stop thinking about whatever is getting you too aroused, and you have to replace it with something that is neutral, that doesn't do that to you. And repeating a sound doesn't have to be om. It could be a number. It could be a letter. It could be someone's name. As long as you're not producing a stressful thought.
Right.
Okay. So if you sit and say the number 7 over and over again slowly, if that occupies your brain, if that replaces the stressful thought, then you've succeeded.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't even have to be a sound. It doesn't have to be something you say. It might be something you look at.
Right. So sometimes people will use a candle because they'll watch the flame float back and forth because, you know, making the sound is maybe distracting to them. So they'll use the candle as a point of focus. But that's what the point is. The point is you're focusing on something other than what's causing you stress.
Right, right. That's right. That's what you want to do. You want to get rid of the stressful trigger and replace it with something that allows your body to come back to a normal state.
Right.
Because you've gotten too aroused. That's your nerves getting on edge. Now you want to bring them back down.
Right. Okay. Another thing that people sometimes get frustrated with when it comes to meditation is they think, I don't have time to meditate. Well, meditation isn't necessarily this hour-long process.
No.
What I encourage patients and people to do is 5 minutes. Just start out with 5 minutes in the morning when you first wake up, or 5 minutes just before you go to bed. Either one to start. Just give me 5 minutes of meditation every day, and we'll build from there. You go from 5 minutes in the evening to 5 minutes in the morning and evening, and then maybe you build up to 10 minutes. But there's no need for meditation to be something that consumes a significant portion of your time.
No.
It can be something as simple as a 5 minute time alone, where you're again listening to music or chanting or watching a flame or whatever the case may be, but it doesn't have to be a long period of time.
That's right. And there are times when you start to get really fatigued or really anxious, whatever these feelings are, that if you just step back for just a couple of minutes, you get refreshed. I mean, you know, and we're now encouraged. People in the workplace are encouraged to take a small break, even a small nap. You know, executives have been doing it for years.
Right.
If you're working on an assembly line, of course you can't. But if you have a job where you can unplug for a couple of minutes, turn your phone off, turn your computer down, put it on sleep mode, and just move back, move away from everything just for a couple of minutes.
Right.
You'll be refreshed and you can return with a clear head.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we recommend you starting out, especially if you've had problems with it before, recommend starting out with a guided meditation.
Right. Are there apps for this?
There are plenty of apps for this.
I was thinking, there are probably all kinds of apps that you can use.
It's funny that you ask. There are plenty of apps.
I don't know how to do apps, but there must be some.
There's one called Simply Being. There's one called Satvia. Mm-hmm. There's Headspace. There's all kinds of different apps. If you just type in whatever app store you use, guided meditation, mm-hmm. you'll have all kinds of things, free ones that come up. There are those that cost that get a little bit more specific mm-hmm. and a little bit more intricate and maybe even help a little bit
more. Get some free ones. Use a couple free ones, see if they work, see what you like, and find one that works for you. They're not all going to work for you, but you'll find one there's this huge variety of apps out there. And, go through a couple, find one that works, and use it.
Yeah, and it does, I like to tell you, it feels awkward at first because here's this person saying, okay, relax. And they're trying to talk in this very calm voice and there's a little bit of music or sounds in the background. And it feels a little bit awkward sometimes, but just get into the habit, get into the routine of doing it, and it becomes very normal and mm-hmm. becomes very, very relaxing and very helpful. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So there's number one.
There's number one. Number two.
Number two, another old faithful
exercise.
There's another sigh. I heard it.
I used to run. Now I walk, but I'm going to start running again. When I used to run, it didn't matter what was happening to me. No matter how stressful, no matter how bad it was, mm-hmm. if I laced up and went for a run, 3 to 5 miles, mm-hmm. I was clear when I got back. Yeah. It was all over.
Yeah. Okay. It's very nice. And it goes back to, you're relieving yourself of some of that strain, mm-hmm. some of that pressure, some of those chemicals that's creating the stress. I mean, if you think about what stress feels like, it feels like, mm-hmm. on the inside. Mm-hmm. And so if you just spend some of that energy.
You get energy. Feel better. Because again, your stress is related to the fight or flight response. So you're increasing your energy as you move toward fight or flight. Everybody knows that. Now you're expending that energy. Right. You're getting rid of the energy and you're
in a healthy
bringing
way.
And you're bringing your body back.
Right. You're getting rid of it instead of holding it in, using it as anxiety because the presence of that energy is what's mm-hmm. making you feel anxious.
That's right.
So spending it by exercising and getting out and running around and it doesn't have to be running. It could be just moderate walking. All you really need to do is just get your heart rate up some.
What I noticed when I started walking is when I would walk, I'd have to walk about twice as long as mm-hmm. I would run.
Right.
If I ran for 30 or 40 minutes, I'd have to walk for an hour and a half and get the same effect, but it took a little bit longer.
Right.
That's all.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, but again, it's really just about getting your heart rate up and that kind of thing.
Right.
You can start out walking low impact. If you have bad knees, if you have any of those kinds of problems,
bad
ride your bike. If you have bad
new
hips
you can
ride a bike.
Right.
You can, there's lots of other options. Swimming is another great way. Not sitting in a pool.
Not sitting in a hot tub.
Yeah. Well, that's, you got to move around a little bit.
You got to get
your body moving. And again, it's all about getting your heart rate up and moving your muscles so that you expend some of that energy.
And break up those toxins and the lactic acid in your muscles and everything. And it just, you will feel better. So figure out a way that you can exercise. Even if I just had this surgery and you can do exercises in a walker.
Right.
Just lifting your legs and moving around is enough to start making you feel better. So find something that works for you and use it.
Yeah. Again, it goes back to the idea that it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to fit into some box that we have in our mind that it has to be, 30 minutes at the gym, lifting weights and to where you're going, you're going to become
just get
muscle
your heart
bound or
going.
Anything.
You talked about getting your heart going because pumping blood is, that blood is oxygen rich blood. And that's what you want. You want to get more oxygen to your cells, oxygen, glucose to your cells. It's going to make you feel better.
Okay? Absolutely.
So you figure out an exercise that works for you.
Right. Okay? Right. So, all right.
Third.
Number three.
Prayer.
Yep.
Okay. Prayer is really a type of meditation.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm thinking of...
it's focused meditation.
It's focused meditation. Yeah. And it is repetitive. Mm-hmm. If you say the same prayer over and over again, that's your own, But I'm thinking about whether it's a Tibetan monk, a Catholic priest, a Jewish rabbi. It almost doesn't matter. I think all these religions, the Muslim faith has, 5 times a day when you're supposed mm-hmm. to pray. The Jewish faith has it. The Catholic faith has it. to stop during your day and slow down and calm yourself down through prayer. It is a form of meditation. And you have to wonder about people who get up, you know, like people who get up every morning and say these morning prayers,
right?
You know, to calm yourself down, to get some perspective. And then you take a break at noon,
right,
and do it. And then there are Vespers, prayers you do in the evening. Mm-hmm. And then there's prayers you do before you go to bed. And what those do is they represent stops along in your very busy day that allow you to collect yourself.
Right.
You know, calming way to collect yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like you said, I think that's a great point, that it's very similar to meditation. Mm-hmm. Because you're just taking some time to pause. Mm-hmm. and remove yourself from the stressful situation that you're experiencing. And again, whether that's, we're calling this emotion focused. Mm-hmm. So whatever your emotion is, you know, sometimes even if you're experiencing really positive emotions, mm-hmm, sometimes you need to step back from that just a little bit and say, all right, let me collect myself. All right, think about your kids. How many times do your kids start getting wound up and it's like, okay, guys, you need to settle down.
Right.
They're having a little bit too much fun,
right?
Because they're starting to get a little bit out of control. But it happens to us as well. We start feeling really good, and if we're not careful, we overdo it and we get ourselves in a tight spot.
Arousal is arousal.
Right.
Sometimes it's negative arousal, but sometimes it's too much positive arousal.
Right.
And you want to pull yourself together before you do something stupid.
Right.
Or you hit the send key.
Right.
You know, on Facebook. Calm, you know, get closer to some normal state, because even positive emotions can get us into trouble.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And again, prayer is like mm-hmm, exercise and like meditation. Prayer is a great way to just take a little bit of time to get back to a state of homeostasis, and so that you can, you know, then proceed with the rest of the day.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Now there's an emergency button.
Right.
That we have.
Right.
What's that? Is it one of the stores? Staples or something?
Staples, easy button.
Easy button?
Yes.
Okay. There, we have a lever that you can pull to stop the train.
Right.
It's called thought stopping.
Somebody really had to think hard to come up with the name for that one.
Why?
So what do we want to call this thing? It's going to stop thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call it a thought stopper.
Okay.
That would be... It's very creative.
I thought there was something more coming. Why would it be so hard to come up with that name? It's late in the week, so
it is.
We start to turn to seed.
Too much good emotion.
No, it's true. When if you've never had a panic attack,
right?
Good, we're glad. But if you had, you know how scary they can be.
Right.
I mean, they are absolutely terrifying. And as we've said before, it will pass. I mean, the first thing you have to do is you have to know that it is going to pass and nothing horrible needs to happen.
Right.
Okay. But you have to be able to stop it. And it's easiest to stop these negative, stressful thoughts before they take hold.
Right.
So we don't want it to get you. You don't want to get to a panic. So you want to stop it early. Because again, you have to stop and get rid of the thoughts that are doing this. So you can replace it with something, but maybe your first step is you got to stop the negative thought.
Right.
How do you do that? We recommend with kids, with young children, we give them a rubber band to put on their wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And when they feel that thought coming,
mm-hmm,
because they have fewer tools in their toolbox to deal with this stuff,
right,
and they don't always have the freedom
to
get it. If you're in a class, you don't have the freedom to get up and walk out of the room like you do at work.
Yeah.
And so, or if you're on an assembly line, you can't just walk away because the line is going to continue. So to stop the thought, we give the kids a rubber band. And when they feel the thought coming, they simply snap their wrist, and that sends you in another direction.
Right.
Okay. It's painful enough to send you in another direction.
Right. Yeah. There's some really nice little devices that they have now, mm-hmm, that's really somebody has created to expand on that a little bit. So instead of the rubber band, you just kind of pop yourself with it, mm-hmm, you know, not hard or anything like that.
Right.
And of course it has to be, those aren't good for ADHD kids, because then they're not just popping themselves, they're popping everybody else as well.
Everybody in the classroom.
But it has to be for the right kid, but they have these really interesting little things that if you are getting off task, you can touch or something, mm-hmm. and it gives you a little zzz, mm-hmm. zzz, yep. little not really a shock, but just a hey, pay attention, you know,
get back where you were.
And so we're thinking, oh my gosh, that's cruel. Why would I do mm-hmm. that? But the idea is you're doing something to stop the thought, mm-hmm. to interrupt that line of thinking. Right. Because if we, as you suggested, if we're not careful, we get going down this mm-hmm. line of thinking. And before we know it, it is the snowball right. that's just not stopping. That's it is right. not. And then there's no mm-hmm. hope. And you've got to get it all the way through to the end.
Mm-hmm. I like little stress balls, too. Mm-hmm. You know, you carry a little stress ball. Have your kids carry a little stress ball and grab it and just squeeze it hard a couple of times. And that's frequently enough
yeah.
to stop the thinking that's taking you in the wrong direction.
Right.
You remember these little metal things that we used to use for handshakes and they would buzz
yeah.
the other person? It wasn't a shock. Right. It was just a very rapid vibration.
Right.
That's all you need. I mean, you right. don't need to electrocute somebody.
Right. But it's fun.
To electrocute?
Sometimes.
No. It depends. But no, just a rapid vibration would be enough
right.
to just break the thought. Again, you want to stop the thought so that you can replace it with a more positive.
Another thing that we've used before, and we use this in classrooms, is you have periodically have a little bell that chimes.
Yeah.
And in that bell, you mm-hmm. teach yourself, or you remember that whenever the bell rings, that's when you're supposed to think, okay, what am I doing? Am I on task? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? If you have an alarm on your phone or something like that goes off every once in a while, he's got an idea.
Oh.
Every once in a while, did you hear that? That was a little bell that went off. It was your idea. But if you have some kind of auditory cue, some type of physical cue that reminds you, okay, get back on task or stop that thought or make sure I'm having appropriate thoughts, that's a great way to, as a thought stopper as well.
You know, I'm really tech savvy.
Wow.
You know how good I am at these devices.
I know.
I'm using my alarm more these days.
Well, that's
on
good.
My phone, right? And I was thinking, students come in, my own daughter, you know, students would come and say, oh, I hate this class, you know, mm-hmm. math class, or I hate history. I hate history class, boring. Set your alarm during that class mm-hmm. just to keep you mm-hmm. on track and yeah. to remind you yeah. not to let yourself drift.
Yeah, if you have it in your pocket, just set it to
vibrates.
Where it vibrates every 10 minutes or so. Just say, that's right. I'm supposed to be focusing.
Set it every 10 minutes so it vibrates and it keeps you on task. Right. You don't have to do it for the entire day. But in those places, like if you're going to a meeting and meetings put you to sleep,
mm-hmm.
set your alarm, put it somewhere where it vibrates against your body and it keeps you alert.
Right,
you
know? Right. And all of those are just little strategies to stop thoughts, right. to stop your thoughts from taking you off task,
mm-hmm.
to stop your thoughts from being unhealthy, because it's going to make you refocus. Okay, what was I thinking about? Okay, let me get back to thinking about what I'm supposed to be thinking about.
Right.
So
right.
yeah, thought mm-hmm. stopping little techniques
right.
are great.
Now the last two take you a little bit outside yourself.
Okay.
So now we're going to say, I want you to move outside yourself and approach others.
Right.
Okay. And the first one is take action. Okay. And we take action. One of the ways to take action is what one writer calls building bridges.
Right.
And he gives this wonderful example of a person who's in a bad mood and can't shake it. And you've tried to meditate and the office isn't working and it's too quiet or something. Get out.
Mm-hmm.
Approach another person, and in this particular case, it was a woman who was having a real difficult day, and she was walking along, and she approached a police officer and said, I know that you have an exceptionally difficult and dangerous job to do, and I just want you to know how much I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And the officer almost fell over, you know, given the current state of affairs with police officers, and said, ma'am, you have made my day.
Yeah.
You don't know how that important. She felt better.
Right.
You know, just what did it take? 20 seconds, 30
right.
seconds. So it's take action, mm-hmm. do something that will make you feel, move over to a coworker
right.
and just give them a compliment or take some kind of action with another person that will make you feel better, that'll get rid of the negative thoughts
right.
and replace them with positive thoughts.
That reminds me of the movie with Robin Williams, Patch Adams.
Yes.
Remember they did that whole social experiment where mm-hmm. he was like, let's just see if we can get a reaction from someone.
Right.
So, and when you do that, you're right. Now, this requires some energy
mm-hmm.
because it's going to require you to, you know, if your emotions and everything have you to where you want to be alone and you want to be, withdrawn from everybody and you know, removed yourself from, mm-hmm. from those things, it's going to require the energy to overcome that.
Right.
But again, if you understand why you're doing it and mm-hmm. understand through experience, perhaps, that this is going to help you,
right.
then it's going to make it much, much easier for you to say, okay, I'm going to get out mm-hmm. and I'm just going to, the first person I'm going to see, I'm going to say, have a great day.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I really appreciate you living in my community and, you know, have a great day.
Right.
And, right. And just doing those little bits of social engagement is really, really critical.
Or walk up to a person you work with and say, hey, I haven't told you, it's been a long time since I told you how much I appreciate all right. you do around here.
Right.
It really makes a difference. Yeah. You know? And make somebody else's day good, you'll feel better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's that bridging that you can do by taking action right. and getting out and making those connections.
Right.
But it leads us really nicely to the last one, number six, which is using your social supports. When I was a graduate student, I was working on my dissertation
mm-hmm.
and I was doing a study to look at the impact of having an infant or a toddler with medical or developmental disabilities and what impact from a stress perspective mm-hmm. does that have on the parents. It was sort of built upon the thesis that I did for my specialist degree. But so when I was doing some research, I was looking, okay, what kinds of things affects how we experience mm-hmm. stress mm-hmm. and these some of these challenging emotions? And one of the things I found was social supports.
Right.
And what was fascinating, what I think was the most amazing thing that I found, and it has stuck with me now, you know, 15 years later, is the fact that the research says, it doesn't matter if you really have social supports. It doesn't even matter if the social supports are real or if you even use them. It's the perception that they're available if you need them. Mm-hmm. So if you know that there's this resource out there that's there to help you and that you know will be there to help you in the event that you need it, that relieves stress tremendously.
You know, that's true. I used that when I was in college. I think mainly in college or maybe when I first got out of college, when I was just starting my career. That I knew I had the support of my, not just my nuclear family,
right.
but of aunts and uncles. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I could go to them whenever I wanted to
right.
and get unconditional support. And I usually didn't have to. I just knew it was there.
Right.
Just knowing that it's there
right.
Eases your mind right. a little bit.
Yeah, there were research studies that looked at that and they said, okay, what kind of supports do you have? And they went, right. People would go through these lists and they'd say, well, how good does it make you feel that there's, and they say, oh, it makes me feel very good. It relieves stress. Yeah. It makes, well, how often do you use them? Oh, I've never used
them. Never use them. They're just there, but you know that they're there.
But knowing that it's there. And this is what's really good about, you know, when people are involved with their churches mm-hmm. or different community agencies or different groups like that. It just knowing that they're there is mm-hmm. really profoundly effective in
right.
relieving stress and helping us cope with some of the challenges in life.
You know, we had a job a few years ago. It was a wonderful academic community that we had built. We really liked being mm-hmm. with each other. Mm-hmm. No matter how, whatever happened during the day, I could walk down the hall and mm-hmm. there were people there
right.
and I knew that I could, they were the social support system. Now we have less of that.
Right.
But there are people that I know that mm-hmm. I can call.
Yeah.
And we all have somebody
right.
that we can call. Look, we all have somebody because there's a lot of churches and synagogues. You call them, they'll make sure that somebody
yeah.
talks to you. So
yeah.
nobody is complete. You might say, well, I don't have family or I don't have friends. Or No, we all have somebody we can call. Call right. a church. They'll answer the phone and they'll get somebody out to you.
Yeah.
So we all have these things, but we have to take advantage of them.
Right.
So I have people now that no matter what, if I get bad news, I know that I can call them.
Right.
And they're going to be supportive and they're going to be helpful and they're going to get rid of whatever, they're going to help me to get rid of whatever stress I have. Sometimes they have to tell me that I'm stupid. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they tell you that you're worrying about it needlessly. You just mm-hmm. need to,
yeah.
you know, get over it. Other times they have to be compassionate, mm-hmm. empathic, and help you get through it. But
and,
they're there.
And you know which person to go to get which type of feedback you
That's
need.
Right.
You
That's
know,
right.
if you want that brutally honest, you know,
right. if I call you,
just give me a call. I'll give it to you.
If you want it unadulterated across the face hey. With a wet towel, call Dr. Bernie.
Hey.
No, you're empathic. He's empathic. Don't let me.
Sometimes.
No, but you're right. There are people where you have to, you just say, I need a reality check here.
Right.
And you have to know who's going to tell you the truth. And then other times you just want somebody to hold your hand.
Right.
Do that. Absolutely do it.
Right.
A friend in need is a friend indeed. You
right.
know, when most people are going to respond exactly in the way. And if they yeah. don't, get some new friends.
Yeah, that's right. So using those social supports, or and again, at least acknowledging and recognizing and accepting the fact that those social supports are available,
that's, right.
that's going to help you manage most of the emotions, mm-hmm. especially those negative emotions, because... and you know, we're talking a lot about negative emotions because that's the emotions that we tend to have to find a way to cope with. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we need that reality check even with positive emotions.
Right.
And could you say, could this really be as good as it sounds? And so you mm-hmm. need to go to somebody and you say, listen, this is right. what they're telling me. Is this real?
Does this
sound reasonable to you? Because have you ever heard of this before? Because... you know, this opportunity is here and right. I just need to make sure that I don't, you know, sign up for something that's going to get me in trouble.
And then somebody says, no, that's a virus.
That's right. No,
now,
there is
no,
there is no Nigerian prince that's going to send you 500 pounds because of a lottery that he won.
But he needs your social security number to send it.
Dear beneficiary.
Right.
I don't know where. You would think that they would come up with some better emails, but right. I'm assuming that they still...
I still do.
Catch people in that. But,
right.
I need your
routing number so that I can deposit it in the right account.
If you send me $500, I'll be able to send you this check for right. $2 million.
Right.
Oh, okay.
That sounds like a good deal.
And it's sad that people get caught by that. Man. Yeah. But again, if you have social supports where you can go in and you can say, hey, man, this Nigerian prince just reached me.
Mm-hmm.
Reached out to me through, do you think it's real?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, hopefully they'll say, no.
No.
No, don't,
save your
don't
money.
Do that.
Turn it on.
Because sometimes things are too good. But we need those reality checks right. to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's positive emotions or negative emotions, if they're getting to be overwhelming or they're getting to be very, very strong, it is good to go and talk to social supports.
Right.
But going through all six of these, you know, whether it's meditation, exercise, prayer, the thought stopping ideas, or that bridging, that taking
building
action
bridges.
And building right. bridges, any of these are really strong strategies that we can use to better manage our emotions so that we stay in better control of our behaviors and our actions and our thoughts. And that all of that leads to a happier, healthier, and usually more successful life.
And taking control. You know, there are these things. We talk about locus of control, you know, being able to control and self-regulate.
Right.
These are self-regulation strategies that we have to learn how to use and use them.
Absolutely. So, all right. Well, I think that's it for today. So this was another
good week.
Great podcast.
Mm-hmm.
If you get the opportunity, please jump on the iTunes and write mm-hmm. a review or give us a rating. It just helps us with our status, right. I guess that's what we call it, status ranking. iTunes. We're doing a little bit better, at least in the mental health field. We're kind of getting above some of those podcasts that haven't published anything since 2014, which mm-hmm. is great.
Right.
Especially since we're posting up to date. So,
and if you do like us, tell everybody.
Yeah.
If you don't like us, tell us.
Yeah.
Okay?
Tell us what we can
tell us what
fix
we can do
and do better.
What we can fix, how we can make it better, what topics you want to hear that we might not be discussing.
Yeah.
Let us hear.
Yeah. Okay. And throughout the week this week, we've been doing different things with our lighting for those of you who are watching us on YouTube.
Yes.
So if hopefully it's things keep getting better with that.
I'm going to have to wear sunglasses in here. It's like a real studio.
We have lights all over the place. So subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're going to keep posting things and getting more and more information out there as much as we can. So, all right. Anything else?
No.
All right.
We're in business. This is we're moving into the holiday week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, next week. So
be ready. Tune in next week. We'll talk about a lot of other things and hopefully keep guiding you in the direction that you want to go. To have that happier, healthier life.
Right.
So, all right. So until next week, I'm Dr. Bernie.
I'm Dr. Richard.
Have a happy weekend. Stay healthy and forget to be afraid.